das, ja, Translation. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Perfect. Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. The Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, that he takes his birth in the material world, although he is the Lord of all creations and he is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn, because he himself establishes the truth. But still, there are different opinions as to why he takes his birth. That is also declared in the Bhagavad Gita. He appears by his own internal potency to re-establish the principles of religion and to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. That is the mission of the appearance of the unborn. Still, it is said that the Lord is there to glorify the pious King Yudhishthira. Lord Sri Krishna certainly wanted to establish the kingdom of the Pandavas for the good of all in the world. When there is a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. When the ruler is impious, the people are unhappy. In the age of Kali, in most cases, the rulers are impious. And therefore the citizens are also continuously unhappy. But in the case of democracy, the impious citizens themselves elect their representative to rule over them, and therefore they cannot blame anyone for their unhappiness. Maharaj Nala was also celebrated as a great pious king, but he had no connection with Lord Krishna. And therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira is meant here to be glorified by Lord Krishna. He had also glorified King Yadu, having taken his birth in the family. He is also known as Yadava, Yaduvira, Yadunandan, etc. Although the Lord is always independent of such obligation, he is just like the sandalwood that grows in the Malaya hills. Trees can grow anywhere and everywhere, yet because the sandalwood trees grow mostly in the area of the Malaya hills, the name sandalwood and the Malaya hills are interrelated. Therefore, their conclusion is that the Lord is ever unborn like the sun, and yet he appears as the sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but he is the father of everything that be. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nikti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Bhaskarya Jinsadhaye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gauravakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Tatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yado Priyasyan Vavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam. Translation. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Here a perplexing subject is addressed by Queen Kunti. That is the birth of someone who is unborn, who never dies and who never is being born. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna gives us a little hint how to understand this shloka. He describes, although he is unborn, he takes this birth, but Atma Maya, that's the key word. It means by his own energy. When the living entity takes his birth, he falls totally under the influence of the material energy. It is the way he enters into the womb of the mother, the way he grows in his body, the way how the winds of the prana airs act upon him at the time of his actual birth, when he is pressed out of the womb. That is totally under the control of the material energy. In Indian temples, you find a little, it looks like a crown, but it's more like a hat on which the two lotus, the two shoes of the Lord are. And this is used, it's called a shatagi, to bless the devotees. It's put on their head, and then it means the shatari, that means also the wind of which take effect at the time of birth, will no longer touch you. In other words, by being blessed with the sandals of the Lord, then there is no longer any birth. I do not know if you have this in our temple here. Do you have this? Shatari or Prada Kokulananda? It might be a discussion with the pujari in the puja department. Maybe you want to introduce it. In the farm, we have both for Radha Madan Mohan and for Lord Singh, that you come, put on your head, and then no more. Very good. In this way, the winds or this material energy arrangement of taking birth is no longer happening. Anyways, our point here is that Krishna does not appear being forced by such a material arrangement, but Atma Mayaya, it is his own internal spiritual energy which is arranging this for him, his appearance in this world, in the most wonderful of ways. Not long ago we celebrated Sri Krishna Janmashtami, and you might remember when Krishna appeared in this world, he did appear first in the mind of Vasudev, went from there in the mind of Devaki. There was no seminal discharge. Lord Garbhadan, as Shonakar would say. Then Lord appeared, actually, first in the Vishnu form, fully decorated, a large personality with earrings and mace and chakra and shankha and lotus flower. Clearly, this is not under the energy or arrangement of the material variety, but it is clearly Atmamaya, that means under the energy of the supreme internal Krishna's energy. So, in a similar way, as the Lord's appearance is unusual, the Lord's devotee's appearance is also unusual. Speaking of Shatari, this wind which comes at the time of the actual birth, there is an interesting story of Alva, who was lying in the womb of his mother when the winds came. When this, I do not know how you call it in Western science. See, our Western science says it happens by the contraction of muscles, isn't it? What is this process in English? The delivery? But what happens at the delivery? What contracts the muscle? Our scientists know. The German word is Wehen, the Wurz Wehen. But it's done, it's so different from English. Sometimes you can hear by similarity. Anyways, they say it's a muscular process, but we understand from Ayurveda science that it's actually subtle airs, not like this air, but subtle, which steer all the processes like yawning, opening the eyes, closing them, and digesting and so on. There are these pranas which are responsible for them, and one of the pranas is responsible to get the baby out. So this Alva, when he saw how this process started with his in his mother, he said, "No, not with me." He was even in an embryo. He was so powerful. "I don't want to take birth by this process." And in this way, the delivery, there was a serious problem in the delivery. This process didn't work. So the Lord's devotees, and this Alva has a name according to this lila he performed already in the womb. So the Lord's devotees are also not under the influence of the material energy. Today we have the disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur, and both his appearance and disappearance were totally unusual. Srila Haridas Thakur's appearance, to start with that, had a certain background. See, when Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, one day looked to Vrindavan, he saw the little cowherd boy Krishna, and he had heard already something about him. See, what he had heard was the following. When Krishna killed the Agasura demon, that was a demon who took this huge form as a snake, then the devatas had made a little concert for him with their dum-dum drums, and it went all over the Svaga planet, this concert. It was a real loud event. They were really into celebrating. And Brahma, he heard this concert, and he heard that it was performed for Krishna, who had killed another powerful demon and given him liberation. So Brahma was very, he felt somewhat annoyed because of this festival. He had a sense of envy crept up in his heart. Well, who is this man? What is happening in this crazy universe? They are worshipping a little boy. What is this? They worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had that feeling. And therefore, he came to Vrindavan to test the power of Krishna. What he did is, as we all know, he stole all the cows and the cowherd boys and sealed them and put them in some place of the universe and returned to see that actually all the cows and cowboys were still there. We of course know what happened. Krishna had expanded himself into identical boys and calves. Now, they were so identical that even Brahma could not see the difference. See, sometimes we wonder that Rasa Mandala and Indrish look very, very close, very similar. I'm still at the stage where I can only differentiate the two by the different kinds of jumpers which they wear. But elsewise not. Same haircut, same face, same smile, everything the same. But if you hear them speak, there's also a difference. And there's some small difference. If you look them just very, very close next to each other, you will be able to spot a difference. But Krishna expanded himself into identical cowherd boys. Their smile was the same, the claws were the same, the eyes, how they are, you know, their reaction, their psychological movements, everything identical. Brahma was bewildered. Maybe it happened in a dream that I stole the cowherd boys. Maybe it was a hallucination. So he went back and he saw the cows, the calves and the cowherd boys sleeping in the cave. Then he returned, only to be more perplexed, because when he saw these different forms of cows and calves and cowherd boys, they all assumed a Vishnu form. And the whole creation began worshipping each one of them. So he was perplexed. And he offered his prayers, beautiful prayers, and then he said, "My dear Lord, I'm so sorry that I was so puffed up. Now I want to ask you for a special boon. I want to take birth and the next time when you appear here on this planet, in my universe, in this planet Earth, I want to actually be present then, but I want to be present in such a way that I have no chance to become puffed up. Please arrange so." And then he saw how the beautiful form of Krishna transformed into the form of Gauranga. And Mahaprabhu said that has to make that be so. So that's the secret of Haridas Thakur's appearance. It's Lord Brahma who took his birth as the Mahabhagavat Haridas Thakur, but he took his birth in a Muslim family. Yes, in the family of Najas, you have correctly heard. In this family, he could not develop any pride. You know, he was not accepted by the society of the Brahmanas and so on. He could not even enter the Jagannath Puri temple. Do you know that? Sorry, not golden. Yes, because I'm golden. And yes, he was given a great deal of profit by his Muslim brothers and sisters of Muslim society for chanting all with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He was in fact caned over 24 marketplaces. So Haridas Thakur, this is a secret of his birth. Now when he disappeared, Mahaprabhu said something very heart-rendering and touching. And I want to read it to you from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a very heart-rendering passage which gives a certain instruction. Be merciful upon me. Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away, exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desire, as we have heard from Shastra. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, say, all glories to Haridas Thakur, and chant the holy name of Hari. Saying this, he personally began to dance. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Haridas!
Jaya Jaya Haridas!
Everyone began to chant, all glories to Haridas Thakur, all glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bid farewell to all the devotees, and he himself, with mixed feelings of happiness and distress, took rest. Of course, we all, actually, every year I think we hear about this passage, and I just want to give a short summary, being desirous of bringing forth one instruction of Haridas Thakur, which is particularly relevant to our progress in Krishna consciousness. Haridas Thakur became a little bit indisposed, and when Mahaprabhu heard about this, he actually, this is now just before his disappearance, he came to him and asked Haridas, what is wrong? Haridas at that time was already bedridden and lay on his bed. And Haridas Thakur did not say, well, liver problems, or I'm too old, or the circulation is rather weak today. But he said, my problem is that I can't finish my vow of chanting 300,000 names. Now, we have once figured it out what it is. It's about 174 rounds, or was it 190 something rounds? 174 rounds every day. Please. One third of it, you might ask, how can a voice do this? Third of it he chanted in the mind. Then the second Third, he chanted this spring. And the last third of it, he chanted loud, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. And this is how he chanted every day, 174 rounds. Now, when he was lying on the back, you know, preparing for his disappearance, then he couldn't do that any longer. It was too many rounds for such a state of well-being, for unwell-being. So, therefore he said, my disease actually is, I can't finish my vow. This was his understanding of his disease. Therefore he is called Namacharya, the Acharya of chanting the name. This is what he said. So Mahaprabhu was very touched, and then he said, Arjuna, do you have any desire? He said, yes, my dear Lord. When I leave, please be present before me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you cannot leave. What am I without you? Can't go on. No, please. I will be heartbroken if I see you disappearing. It will be too much for me. Therefore, let me leave before you. Arise, Harija, as you have died. And then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being omniscient, called all Vaishnavas, they made a kirtan, and he touched actually the chest of the Lord of Haridam. And then Haridam was in the midst of the kirtan, he actually left. Then Mahaprabhu took the body of Haridas and just danced and danced and danced in abundance, holding it on the ass. And he personally took it into the ocean and gave it an Abhishek with the ocean water. And then he declared, from this day on, this place is a Tirtha. Anyone who takes this bath here will obtain love of God. So this is shortly the disappearance Leela of Haridas Thakur, very unusual. Now, in the remainder of our time, let us focus on one instruction of Srila Haridas Thakur, which is of great relevance to our own lives in Krishna consciousness. It is an instruction which is so important that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the Adi Lila, towards the end, says every Vaishnava should actually take this instruction and string it on a thread for the purpose of wearing it around on the body. It's the instruction which actually is, so to say, the mystery around Haridas Thakur's unusual appearance in the family of Muslims. It's the instruction on humility. Trinadapi suniche nara taro ivasa hishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. In Bhagavad Gita, it is this mana. Mana means false pride. In Bhagavad Gita, let us first hear the translation of this verse. Trinadapi sunichena, one should be more humble than the straw in the street, taro iva sahishnuna, more tolerant than the tree, amanina manadena, means free from all mana or pride, and ready to give honor to all others. In this state, Kirtaniya Sadahari, one can actually chant all this. So in the Bhagavad Gita, this freedom from pride is expressed in the following words: Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha. It's a shloka which arises like the glowing sun out of the ocean of the Upadesh, the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Free from mana, from false pride, from false association, free from lust, and free from the dualities of happiness and distress. In this mode, this mood is necessary, gacchantya mudha, to go back home to that param avyayamte, that supreme destination in the spiritual world. So let us now hear a few alarming descriptions on humility. Alarming because they will show what we lack and hopefully give that what we lack by establishing the understanding. Mahaprabhu has thought that one cannot really appreciate the holy name because of offenses. In the second verse of the Chikshastakam, he said, "Unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction to the holy name." What is it being unfortunate, that we do not like the chanting? It's nama parad, or the offenses against the holy name. Now, do you know what is a breeding ground of offenses? From where does offense arise? Yes. Inattentiveness? Vaishnava-parat? Anatta? Attachment? Ego?
Envy?
In Srila Bhaktivinoda discussions, certainly all of the answers get points. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, offenses come from false ego and from envy. Now, if you go to think of it, when sometimes in the past you were offended, you made an offense against the Vaishnava, or against the Seva, or against even the Guru. I mean, we all did this maybe in the past. Maybe not, it's not in our reminiscence, but we can well imagine that something was there in our unfortunate past. It all this comes from false ego. I mean, if you understand you are the eternal servant of Krishna, if you chant in this mood the holy name, I'm your servant, Ayinanda Taruya, please take me, I'm somehow in this world of utter illusion, then how can you be offensive when you are in that mood? Or envy. Well, this is very relevant when we are amongst Vaishnavas and we think, well, he can think quite interesting, but it is actually like a rock star, it is not very devotional. Or in other ways, and yes. Then we must make offense. What else? So, therefore, these offense mentality stem from this false ego and enviousness. And if we want to really successfully root out the cause of offense, we have to be in our real spiritual identity in this full of service mood and be properly situated like this. So humility is the direct antithesis, so to say, to false ego and envy. And therefore, if you want to be successful in your life of Krishna consciousness, then you must build a strong wall, a protective wall around the tender creeper of your devotional service, which is in the process of growing. So that these demons of offense, this elephant of offense, cannot come. And if you do not want this elephant of offense to come, then you have to be free from false ego and enviousness. This is required. You can imagine in your picturesque mind that whenever there is enviousness and false ego, a black elephant jumps up. It's ten plus hot, like a red hot chili elephant, and he will run into the garden of your heart where you are trying to cultivate that creeper of devotion. And if there is at that time not a wall of humility, then you're finished. Sanatan Goswami gives the following definition of humility so that we know how to build in our construction endeavor. The wise man calls humility that feeling which makes the most qualified person consider himself to be low and unqualified. Intelligent aspirants should follow in the footsteps of those in whose heart this humility is fixed with their words, acts, intelligence, and they should never act contrary to this. Let us in this connection remember the example of Srila Prabhupada. One Srila Prabhupada, it was in America, was brought by his many disciples to the airport and waited in the departure or the sitting arrangement before the departure lounge. In the departure lounge, no one can come, but before that, he sat down on a chair, not chair, the sitting arrangement from the airport. So all his disciples came and sat around him. And it was a great many of his disciples sitting there. So the airport authorities, no one of the passengers could, the passengers to the other flights could not pass because it was congested by sitting Vaishnavas. So the airport authorities made an announcement through the microphone, a loudspeaker system, please make room for flight so-and-so. Make room. So when Prabhupada heard this, he immediately got up from his seat and started walking and standing somewhere to make room. The devotees are no Prabhupada. You are sitting here, remain situated. We have to go, not you. But he, being the most qualified, was the first to get up and move away. This is what the wise men call humility. That feeling which makes the most qualified person consider himself to be low and unqualified. This is Sanatana Goswami's instruction. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that this humility actually comes with the dawning of devotee who is advanced will always consider himself very very fine, actually. Now, sometimes you might have wondered when you heard Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami displaying this in his words, that where he says, I'm so fallen. Everyone who even calls my name or says my name loses every security he has, all his good things. You might have thought, how does this work? I mean, he must know, he's writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. He must know that he is not so fallen. After all, you know, the garland of Madan Mohan fell down and was given to him when he had a doubt if he should write or not write. I mean, the Lord interacted and all the Vaishnavas are worshipping him. He must know he can't be the most fallen. But here the explanation is given. When the dense darkness of the material conception, the false ego in other words, is leaving you, the person, and love of God appears, then at that moment humility comes, because one feels himself so separated from the Lord. One feels that he has no adhika, no qualification to be even in the association of devotees. So therefore Sanatana Goswami explains that there is not much difference between actual humility and actual devotion, because this humility is actually based on the purification of the soul. In material life, we tend to identify with this material body and with the concepts of aham, mameti, and we build a very, very, very extended concept which is resting on this physical existence. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, and subtle bodies is utterly illusory because it is not connected to my original spiritual self. It is only proper, therefore, that I become more humble than a blade of grass. Please let us reflect on this. The grass most probably doesn't think anyways of much than just existing there, standing there, looking at the sun sometimes. There's not much happening in the realm of false ego and of aham mameti. You know, he doesn't make a family and have a house or his preaching car. invariably, having a body, looking into the mirror, noticing that I'm becoming fatter or older, having a mind with a certain psychology, a certain domineering spirit maybe, or a certain tendency for utter self-deprecation. You know, we are apt to follow the ways of the body and the mind. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement is, I'm actually the original spiritual self, a complete different entity. I'm a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I may be a coward boy, or a manjari, or a parrot of Krishna who eats pomegranates from his hands, and so on and so forth. So he says, therefore the grass is in a better position as far as humility is concerned, and therefore I should be more humble than the straw in the street. It says this humility which you hear, which you have, is like water in the eye. When you have water in the eye, grains of dust and some straw which falls in the eyes is quickly driven out by the watery process. So humility protects you. It drives out the cause of offenses, which are, to repeat it again, false ego and envy. But if your eye is not protected like this, great problem can appear. In other words, if you're not protected by the water of humility, there is no driving out force in you, then these material contaminations come, which are bound to come just due to the fact that we have this body and this mind. So then Mahaprabhu says, Taro Ivasa Hishnuna, more tolerant than this tree. This is explained further by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but he makes the observation that a tree even gives shadow and fruit to the woodcutter. In the same way, a devotee is friendly to all. He even wishes good to the enemy, to one's enemy. Now, I remember a pastime of Srila Prabhupada, which happened in the Massachusetts University, MIT, Technical something University in America. He gave a lecture, and after the lecture, an Indian gentleman said, "No, Krishna is not God. This is all you saying." Now, this is the worst thing which can happen to you if you are preaching. I mean, I'm just taking the situation, not just isolating it for a moment from the personality of Srila Prabhupada. You're preaching, you want to convince your audience to become devotees, and then an Indian who is naturally seen by the audience as an authority, having taken birth in the land of Krishna, he says, "No, Krishna is just some inferior someone." This can, you know. Now, what did Prabhupada say? He humbly put his head down. Later, he was asked, "Prabhupada, why didn't you smash the demon?" And it's an interesting answer he gave. He said, "He was an enemy in my past life. I did something in my past life which harmed him. I acted as his enemy. Now he took his revenge." So it is just I find this example very interesting. It shows, of course, not, this is now very important. Usually we should smash such a person. I mean, we should preach for Krishna, and we can't let this happen. But I wanted to just say, to use this example, not that the preacher should keep mum when someone attacks the Supreme Personality of Godhead's divine position. I wanted to use this example in the sense of wishing good to the enemy. Usually our wishing good to the enemy should be there to bring him to Krishna consciousness somehow or other. Sometimes even a disciple can become an enemy to the guru momentarily by not following the instructions. But the guru always must take care to wish him well. Sometimes our husband, our wife can become an enemy, or our son can become an enemy, but we must be more tolerant than the tree. Sometimes the Kami can say, "You nonsense Hare Krishna, I spit on your literature." Bas. us also act in a way. We must hate the sin, but never the sinner. This is a sign of personal insecurity and weakness, and a sign of not being fixed in Mahaprabhu's instruction to be more tolerant than the tree. So this is of course difficult. Let us not be in dreamy worlds about this. But it comes by offenseless chanting. Then you can develop this quality of compassion without envy. Usually we only have compassion to those who are in our clique, so to say, or in our mood, and so on. But to have that more tolerant than the tree, it comes by offenseless chanting. Then you can be compassionate to one and all. And the last instruction here in this connection is Amanina Manadena. The devotee should not expect personal honor, but be prepared to honor others. Now this is not a cheap PR trick, or communication trick, to always praise the other. See, there is a stock market of exchange of honor. Usually, oh, you are so great, you are so wonderful, you are the emblem of all good qualities, I would say. And then the usual expectation is now say something back. You know? This is a human psychology. It is very, very distressful. Sometimes it might happen also in our psychology that this newcomer, we make ourselves very, very small before the other, so just get some affection which are inspiring our false ego for bigger and bigger heights. This is not what Mahaprabhu tells about. It should not be artificial. This is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point. He says humility which is artificial, which is not honest, is actually a disturbance. So knowing to respect others is not so easy. It is an instruction also on the Bhagavatam, Pranad Dandavat Bhumav. It means one should offer prostrate obeisances even to the horses, the outcasts, the cows, and the donkeys, knowing that the Supreme Self dwells in them. So this is the basis, knowing that Krishna or the Paramatma is there. That is the incentive for the Vaishnava to respect others and to make arrangements that others can come to Krishna consciousness. Now, you might think, well, now we have heard these difficult instructions by Mahaprabhu. I mean, Mahaprabhu is so merciful. Why does he give these heavy instructions to become to become more humble than the straw in the street, to be more tolerant than the tree, and to give others honor without expecting honor? Except why is all of a sudden Mahaprabhu changing all his teachings? This is not possible. Now, please remember, bhakti is obtained by mercy. It is not attained by some mental constructions which you might have in a communication seminar. I'm not speaking of ISKCON communication, I'm speaking of these management trainer, be a humble manager, maybe that is so. I don't know, teamwork or coaching others. Yeah, in seminars like this, coaching others. What did I mean? How to win friends and influence people by Dale Carnegie. There will be also instruction. We always say a good word, you know, pat everyone on the shoulder when you see him in the morning, and also when you see him in the evening. And there are instructions. Mahaprabhu, this is not at all what we are talking about. This humility is based on spiritual realization of freedom from enviousness and false ego. And it can be obtained, like anything else, by mercy. I want to end here by telling you a little charming story. I told this already in Thursday, but it is so nice that one can hear. It is very nice. There was one arrogant Bengali gentleman who approached a sadhu for initiation. The sadhu, however, seeing that he was disqualified by being so proud, rejected him. Many times he came back, but always he heard the same answer. No, sorry, you're not qualified. Finally, the sadhu said, yes, you can be initiated if you find someone or something which is inferior to you in all respects. Says the Bengali gentleman, very simple. And he thought of just walking out of the hut, out of the kutir, and grabbing the next person. You know, he thought, I'm so learned, I'm so qualified, that it's so easy to find someone who is inferior to me in all respects. A really simple task. But then, by the mercy of the sadhu, a realization came in him. And that is that Brahma has created everyone with high points and weak points. Good points and weak points. Okay, you might say that this person may not be so intelligent, but he can run faster around Bhaktivedanta Menon than I. Or he can eat more prasada. So everyone has is created with no one is inferior to you in all respects. This is not the case. This holds true in the animal kingdoms and the plant kingdoms also. Every species can do something which you can't do. The Bengali gentleman, by the mercy of the sadhu, understood therefore that he was not so great as he thought. Then one day, in utter dejection, he sat on the field. He had his private moments. In other words, he had to relieve himself of unnecessary weight. And then, after he had produced the heap, he felt very glad. He said, finally, I found something which is inferior to me in all respects. It is aggressive smelling substance which has no friend with anyone in the universe. He thought, now I can be initiated. I'm just good for that. I will just talk of my realization. I won't bring it, but. Excuse me if I have hurt your feelings before the breakfast. I shouldn't talk so graphic or so picturesque. So, anyways, he thought this is certainly what we are looking for. But then he realized, no, I made a mistake. Before this came in contact with my body, it was good tasting prasad. Only afterwards it transformed. Then he observed a worm crawling enthusiastically towards the heap. Not the worm, but the worm is what I'm looking for. Then again, by the mercy of the sadhu, he could understand. No, the worm can do, can transform this into a useful manure, you know, dung, which can be used for the fields. So then he was
totally finished. He came to the sun and said, never, ever, there will be a time when I will be initiated. I'm simply too puffed up. I'm simply too like this, not qualified according to your test. So the sun said, now you will get Diksha. Now you will get. So this comes by mercy. It comes by mercy. Actually, by spiritual realization it comes, which is a mercy. But this doesn't mean we should walk around proud in our existence. No, let us heed the instructions. Let us pray to Haridas Thakur on his divine day of appearance. Of his appearance. He is a Namacharya who can teach us how to Kirtaniya Sadahari, chant all with the holy name. He is actually also merciful to everyone who takes shelter unto him. This is what Sanatana Goswami said in his appraisal of Haridas Thakur, which I would like to chant with all of you together so that we can glorify Haridas Thakur in the words of Sanatana Goswami. Oh Haridas Thakur,
oh Haridas Thakur,
who is equal to you?
Who is equal to you?
You are one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
You are one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Therefore you are the most fortunate. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
for which he has descended
as an incarnation,
is to spread
the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now instead of personally doing so, he is spreading it through you. My dear sir, you are chanting the holy name 300,000
times daily
and
informing everyone
of the importance of such chanting.
Some behave very well,
but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness.
Where others preach but do not behave properly.
You simultaneously
perform both duties
in relation to the holy name
by your personal behavior
and by your preaching.
Therefore,
you are the spiritual master of the entire world.
For you are the most advanced devotee
in the world.
Srila Haridas Thakur ki
jai. So Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for listening. It is rather late and I feel that everything is more or less clear, the subject is there. Easy, it requires now some thought about it. Best is everyone, you know, thinks of where am I not humble? You know, when does it come? When does this red, hot, chili pepper elephant enter into my mind being invited by my false ego and my enviousness so that I create a parapraat. And then by seriously thinking about this, one can hope to root out. The easiest actually is to hold this instruction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the head. You know, we are actually very small. We are the 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. I was reminded of this just when chanting the other day before Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. All of a sudden they brought this old lady in. She was
going bent over like the widows in Vrindavan, like a wreck and rectangle of passion, she was entering, and it was really odd. And they set her down on the stair, on the chair for darshan. I was looking into her eyes, and death looked right out of the eyes. And he seemed to say, young man, young lad, as we say in English, you will also be like this one day. And it just was, I don't know, it was maybe the fasting or the meetings which were so hard on the mind or whatever, I just rushed internally. Wow, yes, I will be also like this. Reduced to a helpless pile and wrecked a tangular shape, and I hope there will be someone who brings me before the deities at that time. We think deeply about our existence in the world of death. Not much reason to be overly enthusiastic to take a proud position. Not much reason for that. And the abilities which we have and which we see producing results, they are given to us as a gift by the Lord. And sometimes they work, sometimes not. Everyone who is a manager, please go to India, try to manage there. You will see you are utterly helpless. these are all things which sometimes work, sometimes not, because they are borrowed to us. We are not in control of wielding these abilities which we have. Sometimes happens, sometimes work, sometimes not, according to the mercy of the Lord. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes, actually I saw Syama Kunda first. Very much, yes. Yeah, yes, I understand what you say. I mean, Srila Prabhupada's procedure was to always, we should try and then it would come. He once said, the bench will show you how to act. This is like a new judge who goes in the court, he will learn by practice. So when you're not humble, this means you act like being humble. But there is this, that is all right. I mean, you try to be that's all right. But when you overdo it and take to activities which are, you know, like kissing others' feet, or I mean, this we anyways don't do because of our sense of cleanliness. But you know, there's certain things which just. Where someone just goes like, it's just so false. It's a show. I think it has to do with a show where you yourself become convinced of your, you lose your sense of reality in making the show. Come like the actor Gustav Gründgens, who played for the thousandth time with Fistulness, and then with the devil. And then became identified with this role and began beating up his wife and landing in the psychiatric clinic. So by making a show and, you know, becoming one with the show, in acting you have to do this, like Chaitanya is that he can choose. He can change identities, I think, like one has to really be able to change identities and go in the role and be as if one is that person. So that is good for acting, and but for meaning, you should be honestly praying to Krishna for help and acting as if humble, but not lose your sense of reality. This is my whatever, two cents worth of realization. Yes, Prabhu. This will be the last question because we will have to go. Yes. Yes. He acted. He did something towards it. Yes. For one time only, yeah. Mm. Shivaram Maharaj, what do you say to this question?
That's real humility. Because of saying that I have another life.
Yeah.
I'm not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with the service, they can have so many lives.
Excuse me.
And then you said about they can have so many lives.
Yes. So, yes. This Prabhupada's true humility that he said, I had another life. And Guru Ramachandra said, Nitya Siddhas can have many lives. Good. So, my answer is. My answer is Prabhupada is always with Krishna. The pure devotee doesn't stop being with Krishna when he is in the material world. That is not the understanding of a pure devotee. So he wrote in I read a letter, the Prabhupada said that he had a previous life, and apparently Prabhupada said the astrologer said, and he said it in a way that he gives it credit. I was a medical man in the previous life. Have you also heard this?
Physician.
Physician, yes, a physician. So, yes, but we can hear from Prabhupada's own words, never there was a time when I forgot Krishna. Prabhupada is always with Krishna. Very intimate associate. See, our conception that when the Nitya Siddha comes to the world, then he is no longer in the spiritual world, that doesn't hold true in the spiritual dimension of Krishna consciousness. That also resolves the question which sometimes is put, there are two informations. One is Prabhupada joined Krishna in his eternal Leela, that will be said, or his Om Pravishta Leela. Om Pravishta Leela. That Prabhupada joined Krishna in his eternal Leela. And the other thing is, we heard that Prabhupada said, I'm preaching somewhere, my serious disciples go with me. Have you heard this? This was an answer which Prabhupada gave. To where he would go, he would preach in some other place in the universe. Prabhupada, in fact, he once said, Hare Krishna Maharaj said it, and he said to Hare Krishna Maharaj, there is a higher planet in this universe where the living entities have become very, very degraded. We have to go and save them. It's at So these two informations, one, going back home to Krishna, joining in the eternal Leela as we hear, and then
preaching in the universe can also be brought together by the understanding that these others is Krishna. So let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Haridatta ki jai. London is a